reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Please stand for the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to sit down and just be part of the gathering, all together, reflecting, rather than preaching. If you know what I mean. In the Gospel reading today, Luke continues to proclaim what the Lord has made known. The shepherds' journeying and arrival at Bethlehem brings them face to face with a holy family. Mary, Joseph, and the new baby, the holy family. A the emphasis, rather than being on a baby that they find, is about God's message and promise of peace that the baby signifies. It's God's promise of peace that amazes those who hear the good news. Who can hear the good news? Just as it did when the birth of John, some 6 months back, had caused amazement. God's amazing grace is at the heart of this story. Indeed, Mary is more than amazed. She treasures and she ponders. She ponders the words in her heart, the joy of God's promise. By naming their baby Jesus, the promise of God given by Gabriel to both Mary and John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, is fulfilled in obedience. They have been obedient. It's the power in the name of Jesus that is the climax of the first part of Luke's gospel, rather than the birth itself. The amazement that was provoked with Zechariah, John's father, who didn't call John the traditional name of his family, but broke with that tradition and called him what the angel told him to call him, John, the Pathfinder. But that wonder has now been surpassed by Jesus. Fully divine, yet fully human, even being treated like any other Jewish baby boy and being circumcised as the law requires. So today's promise of God's grace on earth can begin to take shape and form because Jesus and his parents began and finished everything required by the law in order that grace can take over. And of course, Joseph also knew the name of names. When Gabriel visited him in the dream that he had, telling him of that special birth and telling him that the boy's name would be called Jesus, the fulfillment of the law. It began and it belonged to the house of David. It goes way back in the line to King David's heritage when God told David that his line would bring a prince of peace who would become king, our salvation. And that's what Jesus means, God saves. And Jesus is also Hebrew for Joshua. And they were both called to lead God's people to the promised land. I wonder what the name Jesus evokes in your heart when you hear that name. What does it stir up in you? I've certainly pondered on it. Jesus. Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. And that's the great fact. Jesus isn't just an illustration of what God was like, but an illustration of God and what he is like. He's with us always. His word made flesh. He's entered into our hearts from the moment we believed. And we too were amazed. Jesus is with us for all time. And the time today, as we move towards ringing in the new year later on this week, the holiness of the naming of Jesus and the wonderful celebration of New Year come together. New beginnings, new starts, new hope, new healing, we pray, don't we? And it's in the spirit of God's love that we find Jesus and his promise of God's tidings of comfort and joy, helping us to cope in the challenges of earthly living. And I don't know about you, but I, for one, am tired. So, spectacularly, the vicar
on Christmas Day, proclaimed the creed before the gospel reading at the 8 o'clock. I said Thomas Cranmer would have been horrified. And then the late arrival of baby Jesus at his own birthday party, and the blessing of the holy dwelling in the crib. It arrived on Christmas morning at midnight mass time, instead of before we started praising him. It tells me that I am weary, actually. And I suspect we all are, aren't we, in one way or another? Weary of the relentless impositions that the virus is having on our lives and the world around us. Weary of our sorrows and sufferings through it. Struggling to be joyful in our own worlds when the worlds of others have been shattered. And weary through the deeper spiritual, emotional, and physical brokenness of the world and of ourselves. It becomes harder, doesn't it, to rejoice in what we have achieved rather than to lament what we failed to do. We're in the dark. And I want to reflect a little on how I see that. And I'm sharing that with you, and it's almost like a testimony, an invitation to identify, to listen to similar things about what I'm saying in my life. Perhaps think about that in relation to your own lives. Of course, I am number one fan of Jesus Christ. I adore him, and I really was saved, truly, spectacularly, in a moment of grace. But it's been in my own lockdown darkness that I've learned to experience so much more of God's grace waiting to be revealed within me through Christ, so that it can shine in my heart and go from the inside to my head and from my thinking to my action and to those around me, hopefully. And one of the biggest gifts of having to sit in the dark, pitch black sometimes, I have to say, has been able to have glimpses of that rest in heavenly peace, calm and peace infused in the busyness and bustle of my mind. And of this season, latterly. You know, my world was very, very, very busy. Lastminute.com, leading up to Christmas Day. A little overwhelming, to be honest. But Boxing Day, however, is a different story. The day after Christmas Day was totally different. The mess, you would never get into the vicarage, even if you were allowed. The mess is still there. There were things to finish off, creating a gentle busyness of its own. But there was a calm about it all, almost a relief, if you like. And I pondered on that, I thought about it, and what I realised is this, that the Advent journey is about waiting for the light of the world. The holy and grace-filled light that wasn't truly with me in that busyness. I had been in the disjointed panic of the going alone darkness that I can get caught up in and that I'd lived in for so many years, going it alone, doing my own thing, before Christ entered into my world, my heart, and shone away the truth and the life, the light of God's grace, through the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And do you know why it was so calm? Because unlike the time 5 minutes before, even 5 minutes to midnight probably, from Christmas Eve into Christmas Day, Christ wasn't there on Christmas Eve. Panic was about trying to be ready. Have we got the food? Have we got the presents? Is it going to plan? But what were we becoming ready for, I asked myself? Well, it was to receive baby Jesus and the light of the world into my heart and my life. I wonder if that's what it was for you. Or was it about making sure we didn't burn the turkey? probably got lots of turkey left if you had friends that were due to come and didn't in the end. But as soon as my symbolic Christmas day arrived, calm was all around. The glory was shining. Jesus, the Saviour and the light of the world, had come. So it wasn't that I'd been entering into Advent in the wrong way. I was entering into it. But I experienced a distinct before and after calm. And that's how it might have been for you in one way or the other. A bit of a moment. December the 25th is the first day of Christmas, not the last. There's 12 more to go until Epiphany on the 6th of January. But actually, as we know, or you might know, the dark is the place where the blessed light shines the brightest. And it gives us sprinkles of God's everlasting, calming and healing love for us all, even in really tricky times. Remember the words that we've heard from Wendy, beautifully read. Imagine God saying this to you, because he is. Isaiah proclaimed it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride herself adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations, which is the world. It's in the spirit of God's love light that we find Jesus, the promise of God's hope, when all might be lost and hopeless. And when the promise of new year doesn't even cut it, doesn't even make us feel better, even one with a vaccine and the alleviation of the intensity of the virus. But that's where we're blessed, with faith, no matter how small or dim. When we sit with like-minded friends like we're doing now, and we ponder on our lives to see how we're going and how we can grow closer to the light, to God, to Jesus. Not putting the world to right, but putting ourselves to right. Getting right-sized and right-minded to take a leap of faith into the unknown of tomorrows that are yet to come. We're called to take a leap of faith, to step into the dark, into the unknown, with nothing more than trust, even bewildered trust, in that name above all names, to look out for our own blessings in the dark. What are the blessings in your own dark? In your own life. Minnie Haskins summed it up well, didn't she, in this poem, God Knows. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That should be your better. That should be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. God knows, his will is best. The stretch of years which wind ahead, so dim to our imperfect vision, are clear to God. Our fears are premature. In him, all time hath full provision. And in the name of Jesus, Mary, Mary's eternal God, Son. May everlasting promise of peace and hope and comfort and joy be with you this new year to come and always. Amen. And we now listen to the beautiful Silent Night Carol. And as we do, I invite you to call on the Holy Name of Jesus to enter into your heart, to bring his healing balm, his calm and hopeful light, the light of the world, the light of your world and mine.